This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. In today's Vital Signs, more symptoms for COVID-19. We've been told about cough, fever, and shortness of breath as a sign of the virus, but the CDC recently expanded the list to include chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and new loss of taste or smell. And health providers have also reported so-called COVID toes and other problems in COVID-19 patients. I talked about this with Dr. John Hollingsworth II. He's a pulmonologist with Texas Health Harris Methodist Hospital in Fort Worth.
One thing that has become exceedingly clear in taking care of COVID patients is it's not simply a respiratory disease. It's a systemic disease and really can affect all the organ systems, depending on the severity of disease.
There have been reports from dermatologists of frostbite-like patches showing up on people's toes. Now, the rash was harmless, often going away on its own without treatment, but again, many of those same patients tested positive for COVID-19. Does that make sense to you?
The skin is one of the largest organ systems in the body, and with many systemic infections or diseases, we see manifestations in the skin, and we're seeing that with COVID-19 also. We see the changes that you're describing in the distal extremities and toes. It's been described in a number of reports where people get rashes across the torso, and this is very common what we see with other diseases that involve the vasculature and have a vasculitis-like picture. And so this is very consistent with what we see with other viruses, that you have dermatologic manifestations.
There have also been reports of blood clots and strokes associated with COVID-19, as well as liver failure. Could that be a symptom of the disease or maybe a complication from it?
The virus clearly can enter a number of different cell types in many different organ systems. In fact, when you look at organs like the neurologic tissue or in the kidney or even in blood cells, I mean, it appears as though there are viral inclusions and entry of the virus into these cells. So it's not entirely surprising that there are neurologic manifestations. And, you know, if you define neurologic manifestations broadly, it's really quite common for people to have some neurologic findings with the COVID infection. Stroke, on the other hand, is a much more rare complication that has been described in a number of case reports, and we in our hospital have seen the same thing, where people will present without other risk factors and present with stroke and also have COVID-19. There's a lot of emerging evidence that COVID does cause a microvascular disease or microvascular thrombosis, which can also cause the vascular changes as well as a hypercoagulable-like state where you can develop either stroke, pulmonary embolus, or blood clots in the legs.
Given these additional symptoms, how is a doctor supposed to even begin to know whether to test for COVID-19 or to suspect the disease?
This is becoming more and more difficult to discern who actually has COVID-19. Part of that depends on prevalence of disease in the community. As the prevalence of disease increases, the suspicion that people have COVID actually has to go quite higher with a number of different symptoms. And I think that's in part the reason the CDC and the WHO have both very broad symptoms when they're thinking about COVID-19.
How should the public take all of this? How should it react to it? Should it just be mindful of anything that develops with their bodies? What can the public do at this point?
I think it boils down to controlling spread of disease, social distancing, hand washing, not getting out into public when you're sick. The rationale behind that is just buying time. So we have new therapies so we can treat patients effectively when they do end up in the hospital. I think it's very confusing to people because there is so much information that comes out. And some of that information is accurate, but some of that information is incomplete or even misinformation. And so I would really rely on, you know, experts in the field like Tony Fauci, who really are leaders, and they'll give good, sound advice about how to approach this disease moving forward. And then the third thing, that moving forward and having good science requires clinical trials. When approached in the hospital to participate in clinical studies, I strongly encourage people to participate in those trials because that's really the way we move the mark forward as a community and a society to have new novel therapies that actually effectively treat patients once they have this infection.
Dr. Hollingsworth, thank you for being with me.
So thank you for the interview.